views, information, or opinions expressed during Angel Answers with Amy Toys series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily are the opinions of those of the host, BBS Radio, and its affiliates and its producers. The show, its host, BBS Radio, and affiliates, and its producers are not responsible and does not verify the accuracy of any of the information contained in the series. The primary purpose of this series is to educate and inform. This series does not constitute medical, legal, or other professional advice or services. The series is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any portion of this series may not be copied, reproduced, or edited without written consent by the host or its producer. And welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I'm your host, Amy Toy. I'm a clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, angelic reader. And today we have a very special guest. His name is Ryan Androjna. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Ryan. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because, well, you know, I have a last name of Toy. It's not...
Yeah, I wish I was born with Ryan Smith, but that's not the case. There's two ways to pronounce it. It's Ryan Androjna, or if you're Sicilian, it's Ryan Androjna. But everyone calls me Ryan Androjna, so...
Okay, Ryan Androjna, thank you, who has a very interesting story. The reason why I'm having Ryan on the show is because he's not only a healer, but the gentleman has had not one but two near-death experiences. Plus, he has a very scientific mind, so this intrigued your host to see, how did this guy be... You're an engineer, right, Ryan? You're an engineer? So, and you became a healer. So there's like the left and brain stuff going on here. That's definitely a contrast there. So welcome, Ryan, to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to our show. So, Ryan, tell me a little bit about your experiences. Now, you've had two near-death experiences, and you are also intrigued by the supernatural. Explain a little bit about your journey into the supernatural. We'll start it out that way.
My journey into the supernatural started out when I was very, very young. I've always been interested in the angels and demons and whatnot from a very young age. And then when the YouTube and the internet spawned up, I would go on there all the time and look at stuff and say, yeah, that looks real, that looks fake, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I was always very, very interested in the paranormal, supernatural, whatever you want to call it, the invisible or the shadow people, what have you. So that's kind of, that was kind of a natural to me growing up.
Yeah, did you see these beings? You know, I had experiences with shadow people when I was, I used to drink a lot. I used to have that kind of
Interestingly enough, no, not the shadow people. Interestingly enough, though, when I was very young, probably starting about the age of 5 or 6, when I was looking out my window, I would see these sparks or pinpricks of light going through my eyes, like zigzags going super, super fast. And I would rub my eyes and say, "What's wrong with my eyes? This doesn't look right." And and after time, I became used to that. I'm thinking, okay. And what happened was when I would let my eyes go lazy, I would see all these beautiful white lights going, you know, around my vision and whatnot. And I didn't find out till 35, probably closer to 39 years later that I was actually tuning into my guides and my angels. That's what that was. And I didn't know it.
No. No, as children, we're so untainted, and then the world
changes.
Yeah, I do know. Believe me, I understand.
And it's funny because, and I don't mean to fast forward here, but it's funny because when I channel today, these zigzags or fast streams of light, they slow down and they come into my energy field, and they come. This organized chaos right in front of me. So usually when I'm not channeling, they're off in the distance, you know, if I could put a metric on it, maybe 3 or 4 feet. But when I start channeling, they get right in front of my face. They zoom in and they slow down, and I can feel them. So yeah.
Cool.
It's, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm going on one of the questions that I thought. Do you think, you know, you've heard the term indigo children? All right, do you think you're one of them?
I'm a starseed.
Okay. Well, explain that. Why would you say you're a starseed child?
I was told that, and I wanted to mention, I want to give a shout-out to my friend, if you guys don't mind. Sure. And she helped me discover who I was back in 2015. Her name is, and she's a channeling etheric medium. Her name is Raylene Nuanesis. I screwed that up. Nuanesis. She plugged me into that. She told me, she goes, "You're a starseed. That's where you came from." And so I spent, you know, naturally the next couple of weeks trying to figure out what the heck is a starseed.
Yeah.
Well, I know the Pleiadians. I know of all these other aliens. But, you know, truth be told, we all come from different star systems. But my background is a starseed.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I just thought maybe I heard indigo child, too. So I was like, I wonder if he's an indigo as well. Because sometimes we can have different bloodlines, or not bloodlines, spiritual lines, I'll call it, spiritual heritage lines that come from, you know.
Mm-hmm. My kids are indigos, actually.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, and they're both a horse of a different color, and I love them. They're just my daughter, my youngest daughter, is like me. She's a born healer, but she doesn't know it yet. But she's too young; she's not ready to understand that yet. And my oldest daughter, as a matter of fact, my oldest daughter, both of their third eyes are open much more than mine is. To be honest with you, they talk and see the spirit all the time. It's funny.
Oh yeah. So, Let's get into the near-death experiences. So, what happened with your first near-death experience, and how did that kind of get you in alignment, or was it the second one? So explain what happened with those two.
The first near-death experience, and it wasn't all flowers and meadowy grass and, you know, looking angels and harps playing, unfortunately for me. I was back in 1987, I was crossing the street, and I was hit by a car at 40 miles an hour. And the only thing I can remember was I saw this vehicle out of the corner of my left eye. I remember putting both my hands on the hood, and then I went, and then I blacked out. And then next thing I know, in my mind, I was out for a couple minutes. Truth be told, I was out for over an hour. I didn't know where I went. And it blew my mind for the longest time. Where did I go, and why didn't I die? Because the paramedics and the police told my parents, they said, "Ryan should be dead." Mm-hmm. And they were in tears. And I said, "Well, why am I not dead? I don't know." And so that was the first near-death experience. And honestly, my second near-death experience wasn't any more glamorous. You know, there's a good author out there called Eamon Alexander. Give a shout-out to him about his journey into heaven. But I can't write a book about mine, because my second one was just as dull and boring as my first one. It was. You know, because the second one, I was riding my motorcycle home, and I rear-ended someone, and the next thing I remember in slow motion, okay, I was pressing on the brakes of the motorcycle, and it was slow motion of me going over the handlebars, and next thing I know, 5 minutes later, what it felt to me 5 minutes later, and this is what the beauty of spirit in the spirit world, because it's timeless, is that 5 minutes later, I'm in the car with my wife, and she's driving me home from the hospital. And I looked at her and said, "What happened?" And she looked at me. She goes, "You tell me." She goes, "You're talking to the police. You were doing all this kind of stuff, and you were at the hospital." And I said, "No, I wasn't." Mm-hmm. I said, "Last thing I know, I was riding my bike." And she goes, "Nope." She goes, "You flew over the handlebars. you landed on your head in the opposing lane of traffic, and we had to drag your body off the highway. And then she goes, you had a conversation with the police. And I said, well, what was that all about? She goes, well, they want to know how fast you were going. And I said, well, what did I tell them? She goes, well, you told me you were going to the speed limit. Because I guess she didn't want to get ticketed or something like that. Right. And I said, honey, she goes, this was over 3 hours long. And I said, not to me, it wasn't. This was 5 minutes. I was out for 5 minutes. She goes, no, you weren't. And so both of those near-death experiences weren't glamorous. They weren't okay. I knew that I crossed over. The reason why I didn't is because my soul, my spirit, knows what it's like on the other side. So that's why I was given the amnesia, and that's what Raylene told me. She goes, yeah, Ryan, she goes, you died in 1987 and you died in 2008. But mm-hmm. she goes, you were sent back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love when they send you back. They did that to me twice as well. They're like, yeah, we don't want you. Go away.
You know?
I'm like, but I remember my second one more than my first one. My second one was the one that got me on the path where I am today. But it's like I was gone the whole night, you know. I thought I was going home, and I woke up in the hospital the next morning. My mom's like, how could you do this to me? I'm like, what did I do to you? I'm in the hospital. You need to explain to me, Lucy, what's going on here, because I have no clue. I was just coming home, you know. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't either. And so there were several pieces of the puzzle as I look back in my life. I had my first accident in 1987 where I should have died, my mm-hmm. second accident in 2008 where I should have died, and then I had a lucid dream in the middle after my first accident, and I can get into that later if you want me to, but and I had to have the help of a couple of mediums to kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together and try to figure out, what in the world is going on here? Am I like a cat? Yeah. I don't know. Do I have no lives? I don't know.
You might be. I mean, I have cats, and I don't know if they have 9 lives. They got the lives of Riley, but I don't know if they're all 9.
You know, and I got the question of I don't want to backpedal too much here. Of how did someone asked me a couple months ago? Well, okay, so 2015. You're putting the pieces of the puzzle together. How did you become a healer? And my response to that was, it wasn't the word become. It was, I always was, I just didn't know it. And so that had to be explained. So, so that's kind of the two near-death experiences. You know, I like I said, I wish I could write a book about the angels playing the golden harps and all this luscious land and all these beautiful colors, but no, it was two dumb blackouts that, to me, were a couple minutes long, and it lasted for a couple hours. I woke up, I'm thinking, and then I told my wife, I said, do you mind if I get the motorcycle fixed? Next thing I know, she smacks me really hard in the shoulder. She goes, you don't even think about that right now.
I'm going to kill you, and you won't be worrying about no motorcycle, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. She's like, are you kidding me, Ryan? She goes, you're not getting no motorcycle. She goes, I just watched you crash.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, you talk about channeling Eric's, or, you know, what is channeling Eric? I've heard of this. I have a client that is into this, but can you explain to me how you found it, and how was it important on your journey?
So I found it, you know, truth be told, I found it because I was monkeying around at lunch one day, and I was just minding my own business, and I was looking up angels caught on video, because I like that kind of stuff. I always have, like I mentioned earlier. And this site came up that said channeling Eric. I said, well, what's this all about? Because there's a lot of garbage out there. And a lot of it isn't verified. A lot of it isn't validated. But this one was headed by a doctor who's actually been on NBC News or one of those major outlets. And she was born and raised an atheist. And her doctor, Elisa Metus, and her son committed suicide about 9 years ago. And he came back and started working with her and her family, and they have two books out there published. One's called My Life After Death, and the other one's called Conversations with My Son in the Afterlife. And I looked at that thinking, okay, there's two legitimate published books out there. There's sources behind it. There's many people kind of, you know, rallying behind this person. It can't be Tony. I mean, anybody can doctor up a video and say, oh, look at this, look at that, you know, this looks fake or this looks real. But these were many, many different people of different backgrounds, faiths, and religions coming together and saying, yeah, this is a real deal. And I looked at that. I studied it for probably, you know, a couple of years. Actually, truth be told, I studied channeling Eric for about 5 years. And got into him thinking, you know, yeah, this is the real deal. You can't fake this stuff. And you know, when they're being interviewed on a major news outlet, like, and actually, if you go into YouTube, you can see it. I don't know if it's ABC News or Good Morning America or one of those major outlets. They actually have her interviewed there. So it's not the phony baloney. And that's when I realized, I'm like, yeah, that's when I had to connect the dots to my personal life and look at it and say, you know what? I'm going to work with one of the mediums who's involved with this person because I know they're legitimate. They're going to call a spade a spade. And that's when I found out through them, because I asked the questions about my two near-death experiences, and they're like, yeah, Ryan, this is what happened. And I said, oh, does that make sense? Wow, okay. Okay. So the pieces of the puzzle kind of started to put themselves together a little bit. So, yeah, that's kind of how that one worked.
Yeah, because, like I said, I've heard of it, and, you know, my journey was, you know, I read a lot of books when I had my second near-death experience, like with Danny and Brinkley, who will be on the show later in the fall, and, you know, Raymond Moody and Betty Eady. So I went a little different route, but it's interesting because you sought out psychic mediums to help validate a lot of your gifts, correct?
I did. And the very last, because I had a vivid dream, and a very, very vivid dream after 1987, and I had a metaphysical facilitator. Her name is Shannon Johnson. She's very, very good. I had this dream probably, I don't know, 25, maybe 30 years ago. And when I had this dream, I sat down at a table with eight older guys who were, and they were wearing robes and long beards, all that kind of stuff. And they just scorned me. And guess what? When I woke up that dream, I woke up in my bed and I said, wait a minute, I was just somewhere. I mean, it was literally just as you're looking at the sun or looking at a tree, you're there, and then you wake up in bed, you're saying, wow, I was just somewhere. What the heck happened? And I was, you know, I don't know, maybe 11, 12 years old at the time. You know, when you're somewhere like that, where you can feel the wood of the table, where you can feel the furniture you're sitting on, where you can see the wrinkles in these people's foreheads and touch them, and then you wake up like, wow, what the heck happened there? That haunted me forever. And then I finally got the strength to reach out to this metaphysical facilitator, Shannon Johnson, and she said, you know what, Ryan? She goes, that wasn't a dream. She goes, you experienced a, because she's very good at reading Akashic Records. And she goes, you experienced a scene from a past life that you had 2,000 years ago, in which my daughter was your mother, and she taught you to be a healer because she was taught by Jesus Christ. I thought to myself, wow, is that deep? I said, you're blowing my mind. And I said, well, why did I have this dream? Mm-hmm. And she goes, because you were being scorned by them. She goes, Your mother taught you to be a healer, and then you started teaching women to be healers, and those three men were the disciples of Christ. They were Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they didn't like what you, you're doing. They didn't like it one bit. And they told you to stop. And she goes, and to stop because you were scorned. She goes, then, for whatever reason, your spirit, your soul, decided to pick up where you left off in this previous lifetime, but it had to take two near-death experiences to have it come together, because I was raised in a very, very, very strict Catholic environment where, you know, if I was a healer and I knew it when I was in, you know, 10 or 11 years old, it wouldn't have been supported by anybody. It would have been, I would have been scoring anyways. So I had to take all these little mini events, and then after, you know, after 40 years of life, then it came together, and she's, and Shannon was like, yeah, she goes, you just had to go through a series of events, and then when you realized that you were a healer, it just kind of, you didn't become a healer, you always were a healer. Now, she goes, you're just picking up the pieces of where you left off with 2,000 years ago. And I said, wow, is that deep? So, you know, I am who I am, and I've been doing this for about 2 years now, and I really enjoy helping people, and, you know, that I take a lot of satisfaction when someone says I feel better after I work on them. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that in the second half of the show about your healing abilities and how you work on people, but, you know, it's amazing because I had to go to a psychic medium, which actually that's where I took my mediumship from, and learn who I was. And it's a process, and I feel like you're still in that process of learning who you really are. And it's a great journey, and after a while you're going to know and validate yourself for it, but sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to go along the way and have other people
absolutely.
And help you. You know, and it's amazing. And our last question before we have to go on break. How does your family or how does your wife and your children feel about this? Have you gotten support from them?
Yes and no. That's kind of a gray area. My kids know and my wife know what I do. It's kind of my little side job, if you will. But they are supportive. They don't quite understand it, but I have worked on all three of them before. And my oldest daughter, who's 13, she's like, Daddy, I cut myself, or I have a migraine, whatever. She goes, I need you to heal me right now. And I'm like, honey, I'm in the middle of something. No, Daddy, right now. I'm like, honey, you know, I said, okay, I'll do the best I can, but I'm not in meditation right now. And I try to focus on her and work on her, but no, how they feel about it, you know, they're okay with it. I'm not too quite sure they understand it. Because it's a continuous education.
Well, it is, and you know, sometimes when you're what you need to learn, you're teaching. It's really weird. It's like you're teaching them as you're learning. It's a very strange dichotomy. But you know, growing up, my mother knew I had gifts, and she understood it, but she didn't, I don't know, she didn't encourage her or discourage it either. And it feels like that's like what you're going through. You know, it's kind of like they need you. Like my dad, when he was sick, he's like, I need you to work on me. I'm like, but Dad, I can't, you know, sometimes you can't work on people. We'll get into that next hour, half hour.
Sure.
But, you know, it's amazing how people, you know, around this are like, you know, and I'm sure that your wife, did she feel like you had changed after your second near-death experience? Did she mention that to you at all? I mean, that's what I got.
Yeah, she told me I've been knocked on the head one too many times and I'm all wacky and goofy, so she's pretty much written me off as a high-maintenance man. She's like, yeah, whatever. She's up the life insurance policy on me. She's like, you know. I'm not the innocent 20-year-old young buck anymore. In this, I'm gonna go out and buy a Corvette. I'm in my midlife crisis.
I love your honesty, Ryan. I love your honesty.
Oh, look, Ryan's got a new Harley. I told him not to get one. Oh, you don't care.
Yeah, I mean that sounds like a wife. It sounds like you're joined at the hip. You know, my My ex-husband used to go, like, she does that, I don't know, that woohoo stuff. Really? As you can tell, we're not married anymore. But, you know, that was because of other circumstances. I don't foresee that with you and your wife, but I'm just saying, you know, when you go, I had my own office, and I would just, you know, before we got divorced and separated and all that stuff, you know, I would go in my office, and I would hear him say to his mom, she's in that with that woo-hoo stuff. I'm like, what the hell? There Amy going on with her stuff again, you know. I love it. I love my aunt didn't like him, my ex-husband, and she passed over, and she tried to appear to me, but it was him, and he came out of the kitchen one time. He goes, would you just stop telling your ghost people to reappear before me? Way to go, Aunt Gail!
especially in the shower, you know, or at the time.
Oh, I've had that experience, too. Yeah, I know. I have a friend of mine. Her husband wasn't into this. And, you know, they lived in this haunted house. And one time he thought it was her in the shower. It was the ghost. Let me just say it that way. He came out all white.
Yeah, there's no privacy in the spirit world, that I can tell you.
Yeah, there isn't. And it's just interesting. But at least she doesn't discourage you from it. You know, you're on this. You know, it's sometimes when you find your path with your current mate, it can change you. You can grow or go, but it feels like you guys are growing together, and that's wonderful, you know. And
it's a process. It's a slow process because she was thought that I was doing Reiki, and I said to her, I said, I don't know what Reiki is. I'm not a Reiki master, all that kind of stuff. So, but she had to put a label on it because if you go into a Google search on spiritual energy healing or energy healing, 9 times out of 10 the word Reiki shows up. It's not what I do. And so she was just trying to explain it to her friends, you know. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's, well, with the healing modality that I do Reiki, and I also do integrated energy therapy, which is channeling angel energy. Well, we are going to be taking a break. We will be continuing our fascinating interview with Ryan, and we're going to go into his healing techniques when we return in a few moments. And welcome back to Angel's Answers with Amy Toy. I have Ryan with me. Ryan, how are you doing today? We're continuing our interview on Ryan and his journey. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great, Amy. Thank you for asking.
I'm good, actually. It's been. I live in Florida. Every day is supposed to be sunny, but it's not today. So we're going to go into a little bit about your healing. And what is it, how do you, like I said, how does someone like your background become from a scientific engineering background really become a healer? I mean, aren't you more logical on the left brain side, the logic, and now you're tapping into the right brain? How does that work?
and I'm a left brain, I'm a mechanical engineer. I do machine design. I've been doing that for many, many years now. And I asked myself the same question. I said, how do you do what you do? And there were a lot of skeptics out there, and I didn't know the answer to that. And I guess I need to kind of separate the two questions because, you know, people wear many different hats in life, and they hold many different jobs. And the word become wasn't really a fit for me because I've always been a healer. I just didn't know it. Yeah. It was and that's a hard thing for some people to understand, and I get that. The best answer I can give to that is not really an answer because I had my 2 near death experiences. I went to engineering school. I've always had an interest in the higher dimensions or the paranormal, spin or whatever you want to call it. But I don't know if there's any clear cut answer on how who I am today. Just the fact that I know through there's several different mediums I worked with that I was born into this incarnation as a healer, but it had to take several, four different events for me to realize who I truly was. And and truth be told, I was talking to a wonderful seeking medium the other day, Allison Alfina, and she goes, "You know what, Ryan?" She goes, "Your true calling isn't to be an engineer." She goes, "You're meant to be, you're supposed to be out there healing people." Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, well, why did I waste all this? Why did I go to engineering school then? That doesn't make any sense. You know, I love very left brain, very analytical. But and it was hard for me to kind of shift into that the right-brained after I realized I was a healer to understand. Like it took me 3 or 4 months to figure out how to own it, because it didn't come with an owner's manual.
Right.
So you know,
mm-hmm.
it's not like you you open up this miter saw or this tool from Home Depot or Lowe's, Menards, whatever, and it comes with an instruction manual how to build it, how to put it together. No, I got none of that. I had to figure it out over a couple months, and it was hard work. I'm like, because as a healer, I had to be in the right headspace to do it. Many healers aren't in the right headspace, and they can often send out mucky energy or bad energy as you're channeling. And it's very, very important that you only send out positive energy. So I had to figure that one out. I didn't want to hurt people. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, as a healer, too, you know, it's about intention and sometimes a prayer to your angels or your guides to protect you from negative entities or energy is important. It's about intention. So I've had to learn that as well. It took me 2 years to figure out if I was coming or going after my second near-death experience, so I can relate to what you're saying totally, totally understand.
Yeah, it was, and I'm still fine-tuning it.
Yeah, of course. You know, you're not going to be fine-tuned until you're 6 feet under. I hate to tell you that, but it's a funny process. Okay.
Well, if I die before you, then I'll work on you from the afterlife or something. you can call me in.
Okay. Watch, you know what? They're hearing. They're listening. They'll take you up on that. And I'm talking about spirit guides and angels because they just love to, you know. They love to screw with me, I'm telling you. I don't know who I got as a team, but they're screwy. They really are.
They love the electronics, too.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. You could, I've killed more. I worked at I was a paralegal my last job, my last real job, if you want to call it that, before I got this work full time. And I was working at this law firm, and I killed like 4 PCs in the 6-7 months I was there. They were like, no. They heard my name. They're like, what did you do? I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just turning the damn thing on. And they're like looking at me like, yeah, okay, what are you talking about?
You're like, woo-hoo,
cookie. Yeah, they knew it was because I was like all up and down electromagnetically. You know, when we talk about owning our gifts, what do you mean that you own it?
I was in denial because I'm an engineer. I was in denial after I was told that I was, because back in 2000, I'll back up here, in 2015, I was going through a lot of panic attacks and whatnot, and I was feeling a lot of symptoms. This was at the cusp when I was figured out it. When I would think about people, all of a sudden my hands would, start to have flow around them, airflow, soft current, et cetera. And finally, I threw up my hands in the air. I said, I have to contact a channeling Eric medium. And so I went out and reached out to Raylene. And during the middle of our session, it started happening to me again because I was thinking about my wife at the time. I said, Raylene, time out. I said, why are my hands getting cold, ice cold? And she goes, you need to, she goes, those are your angels and guides. She goes, and I said, and at that moment in time, I remember working with a spiritual healer who has since passed. His name is Audie Heron. He was a great healer, spiritual healer. He passed in 2014, younger guy, and he worked on me. And I said to Raylene, I said, whoa, I said, am I in the same club as Audie Heron? And she goes, yes. She goes, you are a healer. I said, well, I don't, what the heck? Who am I? I'm just an engineer from a small town. Who am I? Right. And she goes, you're a healer. And she goes, you're in the same club as Audie. And so after that, you know, whenever I would think about someone, literally my hands would turn damp and ice cold, just like that. And it happened literally over a few days, just like that. It's like I snapped my fingers, and it freaked me out. And I spent many numerous nights. I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
Sure.
I'm not trained in channeling. I don't know what I'm doing. But why, when I think about people, do my hands turn ice cold? That blows my mind. That's not possible. And so I went. I guess you go through these stages of like denial, or like what the I guess like a 12-step thing, you know, where you denial, then you go to acceptance, and you go to ownership, that type of thing. So I went through denial for a couple months, and I'm thinking, this is impossible. Mm-hmm. I'm an engineer, and this is impossible. And then after I started, long story short here, started kind of trialing on different people that let me work on them. They're like, oh my God, Ryan, what are you doing to me? I said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing to you. But I gotta figure it out really quick because I don't want to hurt people. I'm just trying to help people. So
yeah.
I had to create my own owner's manual for what my gift, it's not a gift, it's an ability, for what my ability was, and then fine-tune it. So I lost track of your question. I'm sorry, but
That's okay. It is a gift to humankind, you know, what we have. The gifts came in with, because I feel you came in with this, is a gift to humankind. And yes, you have the ability to do this, but it is a gift. Just remember that. I don't know. They told me to tell you that.
Well.
Yes. You know, my guys have to get in on the interview. They're like, you got to tell them.
Yep.
You better correct them. I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, this poor man. It's you own it. And sometimes, you know, it takes, going through people. Like, you know, everybody, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and it feels like you had a lot of that, or you have a lot of that going on for yourself with people that you've been to.
And I could say that I wish I could... But it was something that I had to go through. I had to create my own owner's manual, understand where I was 2,000 years ago, like I mentioned in the earlier part of the interview, and try to figure that out and then pick up the pieces and listen to my guides, my angels that had come to me and said, hey, am I doing this right? Does this feel right? It was a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
It took me probably 6 to 8 months after I was doing it, and I'm thinking, okay, I think I can do this now. And then I took the leap of faith and went online and I started offering my services and saying, hey, you know, give me a shot and let me know if it works for you, because I still wasn't believing it. It took me maybe 10 months after I had that initial conversation with Raylene, then finally one lady, Linda Hack, she put her foot down. She got angry at me. She's like, Ryan, you need to own this. She goes, you're not owning it. I'm like, well, I don't know how to own it. And she's like, because she goes, you're denying yourself. You need to be who you are, who you truly are. And she brought me to tears when she said that, because I was denying myself. And then when I accepted it, that's when things really started ramping up. So, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes people to really shake us and say, look, this is who we are as people. I mean, I didn't know I was a psychic medium. I didn't know I could read tarot cards. I knew I was a healer because my aunt used to call me up and say, Amy, whatever you do with your hands, she had rheumatoid arthritis, so I would just touch her joints,
and I would do healings on her, and I had no freaking clue. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, you know, and I did this when I was a kid. And my grandma used to love that. She goes, you have such healing hands. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, healing hands? You know, and it took me two near-death experiences to figure out, oh, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what I came in with. And it sounds like that with you as well. And you're right. It was trial and error, but I went through a different course than you. I became a Reiki master. Didn't like that too much, by the way. I don't like Reiki. Reiki's great for some people, not for me. I like the angel energy because it gets right into the core. But tell us about a little bit briefly. You said four events. Can you give us a little synopsis of that?
And I think I may have touched on this earlier. The four events. I had my first near death experience was in 1987, in which I died. I was kicked back, and my second one was at a lucid dream in which I was scorned by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who were the disciples of Christ, because they didn't like that I was healing people 2,000 years ago. And then I had my my other near-death experience back in 2018. And then I guess the fourth one, if you want to call it a fourth one, was when I was at work. I felt like I was going into cardiac arrest because I had a combination of a panic attack and acid reflux, but it was my guys telling me to wake up. It is now time for you to wake up. It was the alarm that was going off, and I actually went to the hospital because I thought I was dying. I felt the pressure in my chest. I literally thought I was cashing my chips, and that's when I reached out to the medium and said, "What is going on here? I need answers because I have so many unanswered questions. I need help, and this isn't anything a medical doctor can answer for me because they're all clueless." I went through EKGs, all these heart tests, stress tests, and they said, "Your heart is healthy, blah, 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 blah." I'm like, "Why do I feel so crappy?" Well, it was because I was spiritually awakening to who I was.
So,
it's not the glamorous story of...
it's kind of
boring, actually.
No, but... You know, the reason why I do this show is to educate people, like, you know, and bring people on like yourself. So people go through these experiences. They're afraid to talk about it. And when they hear you and I talk or another, you know, guest that's being interviewed talk, maybe they can relate to them. And it brings awareness to them. So, no, it may not be glamorous or it may not be like, oh, yeah, I saw the light, literally. Well, I saw the light twice, and I wanted to go back to that light. You know, it's not as glamorous as it is, but it's the truth. This is your path and your story, and maybe you can help somebody with your gifts, like I said. So,
probably the biggest roadblock, and Shannon Johnson mentioned this to me last month, was my Catholic upbringing, because I was so ingrained in that religion, and I'm not talking down on it or whatever. I respect it, but it was my biggest mental roadblock because after I had those experiences, I realized that religions are like spokes on a wheel. They all go to the center of the hub, which is source. There's no, in my experience, there's no one religion out there that is 100% correct. That might offend some people out there. I understand that. But there's no one religion out there that has it 100% correct. In other words, when a person comes to me and goes, "Oh, you're Catholic, you're going to hell," or "You're Jewish, you're going to hell," whatever. Mm-hmm. No, that's being judgy-wedgy. What is the true it's all about love. So learn to love and be loved, and you're on your way. So, that's one thing I had to overcome is, if I'm judging someone, then I'm not loving them. It's the duality of that. It's hate, it's fear, and that's what separates you from source. So, big lesson for me.
Yeah, it is. I was brought up Catholic as well, but recently, I don't know, it was last year, I had stepped away from the Catholic Church, and I had gone back to it because I still use the saints and light the candles. And sometimes I just like to go into a church and just meditate, believe it or not. The energy is so phenomenal. It depends on what church you go to, and I've been to a lot of them where I've moved to. But you can use that to bring yourself closer to God. It doesn't mean you have to go to Mass. It doesn't mean you have to attend religious services. It just means that it's there to bring you closer to Source, God, universal mind, intelligence, whatever.
Yeah.
And so when you make peace with that, it's all good. I mean, sometimes I will go to Mass, and I will, you know, I'll just sit there, and sometimes I need to hear the message. I did that like 3 or 4 months ago. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I need to hear this. That's why you guys wanted me to go to church today. Okay. And it's like, you know, you don't have to go. It's like, I know there was, I don't know, the Catholic Church had two kinds of sins, venial and something else and whatever. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's all part of the path that we both chose, you know, when we incarnated in this lifetime. So that's really cool. You know, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about exactly how do you heal someone? In a nutshell?
I can give it to you very simply. Well, the first thing I do is I have a beautiful oak tree out in my lawn, a very beautiful 100-year-old oak tree, and I go out there and I walk out my bare feet. Or if it's snowy, I walk out really, really fast.
I remember those days living in Buffalo.
You know, I ground my feet. If it's sunny, I take my time. It's about a 3 or 4 minute job. If it's -40 degrees, you never seen Ryan move so fast in his life, in and out of the house. But no, the first thing I do is I ground myself and transmute all that muck out of my body and give it to Mother Earth Gaia. And then when I come in, when I'm done with that, I always sit down, my bare feet, grab a glass of water because water is a good conductor of energy. And then I call my spirit team. It's that simple. And I have an army of them. I have angels and guides. I have an ascended master healer called Anton. He's a group leader. He leads about 7 or 8 other spirits behind him. I call in archangels, and I call in a host of other ascended master healers, including some higher. I will also call in the higher selves of other people if they so choose to join. Sometimes they don't, whatever. But so for me, it's that simple. I'll sit down in the chair. I will focus in on the person, on their name. And then when I call them in, it's almost instantaneous. What I do is I'll physically lean back in my chair, close my eyes. I'll feel them shift right in front of me. And it's a matter within seconds. I don't want, you know what you want to call it. For me, it feels like just my 9 times out of 10, my hands get cold. Sometimes they'll get warm. Sometimes I'll feel the current flow around from my elbows down to my fingertips, and then I start channeling to them. And I'll say, "Hey, guys, this is a person we're working on right now." And most of the time, Amy, to be honest with you, I don't want to know their intentions. It's none of my business. Mm-hmm. I keep everything private. So what they want to be healed is between them and spirit. I stay out of it. But what happens to me sometimes is if someone has a digestive issue, I'll feel it. If someone has a migraine, I'm going to get the migraine, which sucks. If someone has a heart issue, oh, God, help me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that before. I've had someone had some heart issues, and my heart starts getting jacked up, thinking, oh, I don't want this. And so I have to block some of that. But some of that is some of that I take in to help me help them figure out what's wrong with them. Maybe their chakras are clogged or not balanced or whatever. It could be a host of issues. I healed someone with Lyme's disease 2 years ago, and I felt really mucky after that, and I had to, pneumonia, all that kind of stuff. So after, when I do that, when I channel them in, they literally shift right in front of me, and then they flow through my hands, and it's pretty much instantaneous. Like I said, I get to the point now where my daughter says, Ryan, heal me. Daddy, heal me. And I'm like, okay. I said, just invite. Yeah. It's important. And part of the process, believe it or not, what I've learned is mm-hmm. that I ask people to please slow their minds down to a crawl. If you have a million things going on in your mind, it's very, very important to put the brakes on that. Picture yourself at the beach. Picture your sand between your toes. Think about mm-hmm. nothing but the zero, and then invite me in. And because if you're thinking about your car being repaired, if you're thinking about, you know, your kid getting a detention at school, whatever it is,
right.
What you're doing is you're blocking the effort. So I always ask people, slow your mind down to a crawl and invite me in. And as soon as I do, that's pretty much instantaneous. And like I said, the session is very private between a person and spirit. I don't get involved in that. I only tell them what I can feel on my end. Most of it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. You know, so that's kind of the process, you know, mm-hmm. and I've been through a spectrum of things, you know, one lady I was working on a couple months ago, my forefinger started burning, and mm-hmm. and I told her, I said, I don't know if this resonates with you, but mm-hmm. I said, someone's been pointing their finger at you a lot because my forefinger's burning, and she goes, yeah, you're right, she goes, there's a certain family member who's always striking blame at me and pointing his finger at me. I said, yeah. I said, you just have to block them. It's all about, a lot of it's about boundaries that I've learned anyways, you know, spiritual boundaries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eleanor Roosevelt said a great one. You know, what people think of me is none of my business. If you have the ability to block other people's negative energies, then the healthier you become or the healthier you can be.
Yes, and my own experiences. And by the way, this is long distance healing you're talking about, right? You don't have to be present when you do a session on someone, correct?
Very, very good point. Correct. I've done personal sessions on my family members, but it's spirit is instantaneous. I can probably heal. Not to toot my own horn, but I can probably heal someone on Mars. If they're on Mars, it doesn't matter. But someone was asking me, and they're like, well, I'm in Australia. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, you can be in the North Pole. It doesn't matter. I said, spirit is instantaneous. Mm-hmm. They will find you. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like karma. It knows where your address is, good or bad. Anyway. Yeah, that's what I tell people, too. I can work on them long distance. And usually when I'm doing a psychic reading, I've noticed lately I've been doing more healings. People are like, I'm like, you just need to be cleared, man. You are just screwed up in the head. You just got to clear you out. You know? And they're like, okay. And I do it, and the reading's clear, and we get to the root of the problem, and we move on. So, Ryan, we're coming to a close. Where can people find you?
Sure. I have a website. It's www.healingsthroughspirit.com. And I do have an email address that is healingu74@gmail.com.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Great, Ryan. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on today and enlightening us about healing, because we need more people like you out there. And I'm hoping that this show maybe, I don't know, inspires somebody else to maybe have healing abilities and gifts to come on out and come out of the healer's closet.
Well, it was my pleasure. It was my pleasure. And I hope that, you know, as light workers, we all do what we can to get people to wake up to who they truly are. And, you know, we're all doing a little part of that, what we can. Right. And I am very humbled and grateful for this opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan. And everyone, this is Amy Toy with Angel Answers with Amy Toy. You can find me at amytoy.com. And this is, and join me next week for another exciting interview. This is Amy. Take care. Bye-bye.